Good morning, everybody. It's good to be with you and see you all again. In the fall of 1985, I was in Mexico City training some university students about the work of the Holy Spirit and how to pray for people who are sick. And on the third day, they had planned an evangelistic outreach out in one of the neighborhoods of Mexico City, which involved setting up in a street and showing a Jesus movie on one of the walls on the side of the street, because everything is surrounded by walls. And, you know, then, you know, talking to people and sharing with people. When we got to the place where the outreach was going to happen, the entire city was filled with rain. It was raining everywhere, from horizon to horizon. Just, it looked like our outreach was going to be a washout. And one of the university guys stands out there in the street, raises his hands up to the heavens, and rebuked the rain and commanded it to go away. And in about 5 minutes, a circle of sunlight appeared directly above us. It was like punched a hole right in the clouds, and there was this circle surrounded by clouds. We were completely, everywhere you looked, all around, we were surrounded by rain, but directly above us, sunlight, no rain. And we had our outreach. I saw it happen. God intends for ordinary people like you and I to live a life beyond human explanation. A life where crazy things happen. That's what his intention is. And the Holy Spirit is how he does it. We've been spending this whole last month talking to you about demystifying the Holy Spirit so that everybody here can kind of get a handle on what it's like to actually live life with the Holy Spirit. And when we do, we will live a life beyond human explanation. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said to his disciples, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and then you will be my witnesses to testify about me in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Jesus had a plan. And his plan was that we should be filled with the Holy Spirit's power so that we can live a life that's beyond human explanation. Now, I want to just say three basic things. The first thing is, it's real power. It's not imaginary. It's not emotional. It's real power. It's power to, like, punch a hole in the clouds. You know, I grew up in a Pentecostal church, so, like, we heard about the Holy Spirit a lot. But there was a part of me that kind of thought that the Holy Spirit was, his power is like being in a particular emotional state. Like if you really got fired up or you really got emotional, then that was it. But when I met the Vineyard and I went out to California to see John Wimber, the very first time I saw him, he gets to the end of the talk. And he just says, "Okay, I think the Holy Spirit wants to do something today," and says, "Holy Spirit, we invite you to come." And I thought that was pretty strange because we didn't sing any songs. There wasn't any lead up. You know, we hadn't had, you know, five verses of "Just As I Am" or anything like that. It was just very flat emotionally, just flat, you know. And then we're standing there waiting and waiting. And I'm thinking, yeah, the Holy Spirit's busy somewhere else. And there's this lady who's in the row behind me, and she's just a few seats over, and I can kind of see her in my peripheral vision, and she starts shaking her hands like this. Now, I happen to know now that probably what was happening was God was putting power in her hands so she could lay hands on people and they would get healed. He was like charging her up for healing. But I didn't know that then. I just thought it was weird. And my first thoughts were like, where are the ushers? Somebody needs to take her out. And kind of being a little bit a judgmental Chicagoan, I knew it. California, land of fruits and nuts. And I was basically judging her. Just thinking, she's weird. Like, she shouldn't be here. And about that moment, John Wimber says, now receive the Holy Spirit. A little more forcefully. And boom, it was like I got hit in the chest. And just about fell over my chair. Just boom. Now, time got really slow for me right then. And all these thoughts went through my head. My first thought was, since when does God hit people? And then I remembered a few Bible examples and thought, yeah, that is in the Bible. You know, whoever said God is a gentleman lied. But then my next thought was, I must regain control of my body right away. I got to get my body back before I look like her. Because I was shaking like a bell. Sort of like, boom. And then I thought, hold on. That was like real. That was real. Like, that wasn't emotional. I wasn't in any emotional state other than judging Lady Shaker Hands, you know. It wasn't that. There was no buildup. There was no manipulation. And I realized in that moment that this was like really real. If you'd asked me 5 minutes before, do you believe in the reality of the Holy Spirit? I would have said, of course I do. But in that moment, I realized somewhere inside, deep inside, the truth was that I'd always thought the Holy Spirit was just something emotional or maybe something theoretical, like some concept in calculus. And this was not emotional and very much not theoretical. And I realized that there was a place in me that hadn't believed in the reality of the Holy Spirit. If you'd asked me 5 minutes before, I would have denied it, but it was true. And I started to repent. I started saying, Holy Spirit, I repent of my unbelief. I was wrong. I did not understand how real you are. And when I did that, well, my whole body went numb. Long story short, about 2 hours later, I got my body back. And my friends prayed for me and spent, a long time praying on me. Nothing much seemed to happen, but I just wasn't able to move for a good long time. But it was real. And you know what? Maybe that's where some of you are. You know, like, we've been talking about this all month long, but, you know, maybe there's this thing in you that still thinks, like, is it really real? And I want to say to you, it's real. Second thing, sometimes it's overwhelming, and sometimes it's quiet and gentle. In Acts 4, there's another one of those overwhelming ones when a little bit later, Acts 4:29, they had been persecuted. They came back to pray, and they prayed with all the disciples, Lord, pay attention to their threats now and allow us to speak your word boldly. Show your power. So they're obviously thinking this is real. Show your power by healing and performing miracles and doing amazing things through the power in the name of your holy servant Jesus. You see, it's through him that it all happens. It's not because we're great. It's because he's great. And when they had finished praying, their meeting place shook, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak God's word boldly. Now, sometimes when the Holy Spirit comes, he comes quietly, and sometimes you can get fooled and think nothing's happening. I remember there was a period of time where it seemed like a lot of people in our church were experiencing the Holy Spirit's reality in a very clear way. Like lots of people were shaking and falling and crying and all the different things that were happening. But there was one guy who really loved Jesus, and he went up to get prayed for every time. And every time he stood there like a rock. And nothing happened. And he never had any reaction. And he never felt any tingles or shaking. And he, you know. So eventually we had this discussion. What's going on? What's wrong with me? Well, I don't know. Maybe nothing's wrong with you. What if the Holy Spirit's been coming to you every time, but just really quietly? Why don't you try just going out and living with the Holy Spirit the same way you would if it had been the opposite, if it had been wild and crazy? So that's what he did. He started going out and praying for people who were sick and sharing what things popped into his mind when he was talking to different people and just doing his best to follow the Holy Spirit. And you know what he found out? He found out that there was power in him, and that when he went with the Holy Spirit and tried, things happened. That all that time he thought nothing was happening, actually he was getting filled with the Holy Spirit then too. All he had to do was just go out and try. So we have to keep, number three, keep saying yes and keep trying. That's really where the fun is. Now, a lot of times we think, but what if it's not God? What if I try and it's not God? If you try and it's not God, you might look a little foolish. You'll live. In fact, you might even learn some humility. It'll be okay. My question to you is, what if it is God and you don't do it? Better to try and to find out, well, I kind of got that wrong, than to not try and found out you should have. You know, you say, how do I know it's God? Well, you try it and you'll find out. That's, you get to, you know, we want to, of course, stay in control, don't we? We don't want to have to take a chance. We don't want to have any risk. We want to stay in control. And so we don't try until we're sure. And, of course, that usually means we never try, because we're never really that sure until after you try. So here's the thing. It's real, but you got to try. You have to take the risk. We had a saying in the old days in this church that we got from John Wimber that goes like this. Faith is spelled R-I-S-K, risk. You have to take the risk. That's what faith really looks like. It's the faith of obedience. You don't have to be sure something's happening. You just have to be willing to obey God and try. Now, I want to show you how amazing that can be. A couple years back, a young man named Adama came to our youth group. His family emigrated from Africa, and his family were Muslim. But he came to our youth group, and he found Jesus. And his life was really changed. And he got filled with the Holy Spirit. And the thing I love about him is he always tries. He's like all in. Like he's going to go for it. And he had a thing at his school, one of the high schools around here, a situation that came up. And it has an amazing ending. and I want you to see his story. Let's have the video now.
So basically, the story takes place like the end of my senior year of high school. So I've been walking with Jesus for like a year now. And my teacher, who teaches African-American studies, is now on the course about African spirituality and different types of religions that involve you connecting with nature or like spiritual beings and stuff. And basically, I guess she used that lesson as a way to steer people away from Jesus. And I realized that, kids like me who were Christians were walking out every day discouraged because their faith was being distorted and they didn't have enough like faith or truth to back that up. And it was kind of like getting to me. So I texted my pastor and I told him what was going on. I told him that my teacher was using a core subject to basically just invalidate Jesus and who he is as a person. And my pastor surprisingly was like angry. He wanted to know her name and everything. And I was like, no, I don't think like that's appropriate. I don't think that's the way we should go about this. And he was just like, just stay strong, man. So I was like, all right. So she showed us this documentary about like why Jesus was just invalid and just shouldn't even be brought up in 2018, 2017. And at the end of the video, literally every single kid that I knew that was a Christian walked out with their heads like down and just in disappointment and just like frustration about all the lies that they've been taught growing up in the church. And in a mockish way, she said, if anybody wants to talk to me about this after class, feel free to. And I was like, all right, cool. I'm going to take advantage of that opportunity. So as everybody left the class with their head down, like I stayed and I tried to talk to her. And I realized that every time I was trying to talk to her, she kept getting distracted. Like people kept coming in and out of her classroom. And I was just like, all right, I have a bus to catch. I'm just going to leave. And I felt like God was just telling me just to be patient and to be still and to wait. And because grace is like, it comes under, it's not overpowering. And so I was just waiting in the class, waiting for her to be free. And after an hour passes, I just felt like I just started a conversation with her. And I told her about how my dad is actually from Africa and how I've seen like spiritual things go on like that. But I was explaining to her that there wasn't any fruit that was being bared with it. And she asked me, like, what do you mean by fruit being bared? And I told her about an incident that happened a week before with a classmate of mine who walked in with crutches. And I asked to pray for her, and I prayed for her 3 times, and nothing happened. But it opened up conversation for me to talk about my faith, and it strengthened her and it encouraged her to let her know that she wasn't alone walking in her faith at a big public high school like me. So therefore, fruit was being bared. Versus in African spiritualism, when I would practice those things with my dad, I wouldn't see anything fruitful come out of it, but sometimes mess would come out of it, actually. She was like, well, I want to see these things happen. When she said these things, she meant like seeing miracles happen, like the blind being able to see, people being able to walk, etc. And I was like, well, I do know a way that you can see these things happen. And she said, how? And I was like, Jesus. And her face just went like, Grr. And she was like, yeah, I don't really believe in that. And I was like, it's fine, I believe in it. And then as soon as I said that, a janitor walked in. And I looked at the janitor, and I felt like God spoke to me about her back on her lower right side. And I asked the janitor, I said, I feel like you have pain in your lower back. She was like, no, I don't have pain. I was like, no, I really feel like you have pain right there on your right side. And she was like, how did you know? And I was, and my teacher was like in awe, because she's never seen anything like that happen. And she knew I was a Christian. And I was like, I just feel like God just spoke to me about it. And because he loves you, like, I would love to pray for you. And she was like, okay. The janitor was a Christian as well. And so when I walked to the janitor, I looked at my teacher and I said, actually, I would like for you to pray for her in Jesus' name. And my teacher was so reluctant about that. And she was like, I don't think I want to do that. And I was like, no, I think that you'd be able to do this. And she walked over and I was like, and I asked the janitor, okay, could you place my teacher's hand on wherever your pain is at? And the janitor grabbed her hand and placed it on her lower right side of the back. And I was like, it's easy. Just pray in Jesus' name. There's no special words, no magic formula. It's just calling on Jesus and being able to walk with him, with his powers. And so the teacher prayed. She was like, so she said, in Jesus' name, I command your back to be healed. And immediately the janitor just jumped up and she's like, oh, I feel like this is heat. And this is not like scripted or anything. Like, she's like, I feel this heat on my back. Like, and she stopped and the teacher was like in awe. And I was in awe too, because I didn't really see things like that happen every day. But I'm trying to pretend like I see these things happen all the time. So my teacher isn't in disbelief. So I'm like, yeah, these things happen. And I was like, oh my God, what do I do? Like, and then I was like, well, how do we measure to see if the pain is going away? So I asked her to bend down and to see if she could touch her toes. And she wasn't able to go down all the way. I would say like 3/5 of the way she went down. And then I was like, can we pray again? And this time my teacher was like, yeah, let's pray again. Like, let's see what happens. And so I was like, you lead the prayer. And she put her hand on the janitor's back and she said, in Jesus' name, I command your back to be healed. And again, the janitor's like, this heat, it's coming from your hand, the teacher's hand. And the teacher's like, my hand? And the janitor's like, yeah. And I was like, see? And then she was like, I was like, okay, let's test your pain to see if you could touch your toes. And she just went and touched her toes and started crying. And then the teacher started crying as well. And I was just like, oh my gosh, like, what is happening? Like, but I'm trying to remain cool to let her know that these things happen all the time if you just believe in Jesus.
Keep trying. You got to keep trying. And you got to take the chance. Take the risk. And it's not like every time something's going to happen. There are lots of times when nothing will happen. But you know what? In baseball, you can fail 70% of the time and they'll pay you millions of dollars. So, like, you know, start swinging. If you swing at every pitch, you're bound to hit something sometime. And even one time is worth it, yeah? We used to tell people, don't even measure whether this works till you've tried at least 100 times, right? So get out there and start trying. All right, let's stand and say yes to Jesus.